Welcome to episode number 357 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the Baltimore riots and what does it teach us about parenting. Before you go crazy with that, don't necessarily think I'm going to go the route that you think that I'm going to go. I am not going to slam the families and the parents that are in Baltimore. We're going to go a very unique approach to this. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is April the 29th, 2015. Our topic for today is going to be, what can we learn from the Baltimore riots about parenting? That's right. First off, I want to be very, very clear, like we said in the pre-intro segment there. We are not going to bash Baltimore parents. That's not what's going to happen. What we are going to talk about is what can we extract out of what's happening, this horrible atrocity that is occurring there, what can we learn from the Baltimore riots that can help us with our parenting? There is a significant deal that we can talk about today that is going to be great stuff that we can put in your pipe and smoke it this week. Get to thinking about that. Before we do that, let's get into some quick housekeeping. You want to stay notified of all the new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast Network. Jump over to thefamilypodcast.com. That's right. Minus the word network, we'll still get you there. TheFamilyPodcast.com, right-hand side. Put your name and your email address in. That'll make sure you get put onto a mailing list to make sure you never miss out on a single show here at the Family Podcast Network. Could have been the one show that might change everything about your week. Guys, also don't forget, you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. If you feel like you're getting three dimes out of this, simple little measly three dimes out of this, considering become a P-Tacker. That's just a supporting membership, a group of folks that have come together to say we want to help see this show grow, get bigger, and go. Give a little thanks to what we do here. You can go to thefamilypodcast.com. You can click on Become a Member or click on the P-Tacker button. Either one of those will take you there. You can set it up to however much you want to give per month, but most people like to do about $5 a month. You can also do it for longer than that if you like. You can do it in one year. Whenever you do that, you do get access to the group membership page, the P-Tacker page that is available only to you guys as members. All right. Lastly, guys, if you have any questions, comments, a show topic that you want us to go over, maybe an article you think we'll like here at the Family Podcast Network, shoot it over to us, Trey Gibson at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can also go to the contact page on our main website, as well as call us at 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT-0. Pick up your phone, dial it in, give us a call, leave us your question. You will not go straight on the air or anything like that. You can leave your question directly onto our Google voicemail, and we'll see about popping it on the show. Answer your questions. All right, guys, with all of that out of the way today, let's go ahead and jump into our topic. So we all know there is a situation that has occurred in Baltimore, Maryland, where there are a massive amount of riots that are really taking us back to the days of Ferguson that happened not too terribly long ago. Guys, I'm going to spend almost no time on the actual situation itself. You guys have probably heard at least the basics about what's going down. I'm going to run through the things that we actually know up until this point. Let me rephrase that. Things that I actually know up until this point that are relevant to understanding this story in case maybe you just factually haven't heard yet. What had basically happened is that we have some rioting that have happened in Baltimore. It actually began after some teenagers started this idea about clashing with police officers near the mall after school. They called it what they were calling the purge. They were calling it the purge. Now, what the heck that means, I don't know. Well, Trey, what do you mean? I really don't. That is the only thing that I know, is that the majority of this started after all of that crap about this purge stuff went down. I don't know if it was legitimate. I don't know if it was designed to be violent or if it was designed just to be a peaceful rally. I don't know. It's not my job. It's not the point of today. What I can say definitively, number two, is we know that at least 15 officers, police officers, were injured during this experience, during this purging thing, these protests that were happening. We do know that there were some very serious and what the police are calling very credible threats that were made by several different folks saying that known gangs were going to get involved with this, including the Black Gorilla Family, Bloods, and the Crips, said that they were going to partner in to take out Baltimore police officers. That was a credible statement or a credible thing that was made. And then the last piece of it is that what happened was something went down. Sounds like two bike officer, you know, bike police officers were moving by. They tried to detain this Freddie Gray guy. He took off. They chased him down. What we know is that there's a little bit of video footage showing this Freddie guy being put into a police transport vehicle. There were reports that it looked like maybe his leg had been broken or something like that. This is completely unverifiable at this point. And that when they got to the police office or the police headquarters, that they finally called for an ambulance to meet him there because he was it was bad and he wound up dying. And so this has sparked just this massive outrage that has led to your very classic, just like Ferguson, there's been looting, destruction of property. We've got some cops that have been very badly injured. They've got pictures of fires in the street, Molotov cocktails, filth and refuse everywhere, broken out windows, and it has been a mess, absolutely been a mess. And so this got me to thinking. I mean, it's always good when you do podcasts to try and tie in with what's relevant to the day, because it just makes it easiest for us to extract ideas and thoughts and information whenever we're tying things in that are relevant to us. And so that's kind of where we are today. I wanted to pull from this because there's actually a lot of things that we can learn from our kids in situations like these, or that we can learn that we can teach our kids in situations like these that I think are exceptionally valuable. So we're going to go through kind of my list of things that we can learn to do as a parent. Now, some of you guys have been practicing most of these all your life. Some of y'all may be practicing all of them with your kids for their entire lives. Some of you are practicing maybe several of them, but there's a few that you know you can work on. I think that's going to be one of our biggest categories today. Categorically, I think that's the one you're going to see the most people connect with. And then last, there's going to be some that are practicing almost none of that. And these are just some important lessons for us to learn in our kids to how we do that. So lesson number one that we absolutely have to learn is we have to teach kids the ability to respect property. I understand being outraged. I really do. I understand being so outraged that I want to break some shiz. I get that. I've been there in that place where I've wanted to go and destroy something. It's one of the reasons I love doing combatives, and I do workouts three times a week that involves just punching I don't know if you guys know what a bob is, but if you guys ever look, you know, get a chance, go look up to see what a bob is. And but it basically is just a rubber guy who's really weighty, who looks like a dude, and you can just punch the crap out of it to practice, you know, targeted strikes. And I love that thing. I love that thing. But there's an element that it just lets you vent as well. Sometimes firearms for me, and shotguns especially, are wonderful ways to vent where I just feel the need to destroy something. However, we have to understand that when we do these types of things, we must respect the fact that there are property rights of others. That there are other people that have the rights of property owners to have whatever is theirs to be treated in a certain way or not be treated in a certain way. And kids have to understand that. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to get angry sometimes. We're going to get downright mad, spitting, violent, just, you know, ready to tear something up. But when it comes to other freaking people's property, we cannot cross that line. We can't cross that line. If we find it necessary, we can destroy our own property. If we find it necessary, it's okay for us to tear up our own things. However, it is not okay to tear up other people's property. That's one of the things that I have no doubt in this whole situation is happening with some of these people. So then the question I think arises, how do we teach property rights to kids? You have to give it to them the minute they come out. And I'm not saying that you impart upon them their ability to control their own property. That's one of the things that at least the founders, the authentic, real, liberty-loving founders, mind you, of the United States of America had in mind whenever they said property, is that property is inherent to every one of us, not because it is bestowed upon us because of our, the authority figures in our lives. We don't have property because my mom and dad said that I could have property. We have property because the minute that I pop out, I am a life form, a human life form, and that life is valuable. And because that life is valuable, that it is entitled to things like property that I can do with as I please and not have done with as I do not please. Kids have that same inherent right. Now, we don't like that very often, because when we see the little 2-year-old, a little 3-year-old, a little 4-year-old yanking a toy, their own personal toy, out of the hands of little baby brother, that makes little baby brother cry, we want to reach in and take the weaker of those two and grab it and give it back to the weaker one. But we cannot do that if we want kids to learn property rights. For kids to learn property rights, we have to give them full jurisdiction to do with their property as they please, so long as it's not damaging someone else or someone else's property. So if a kid has a truck and he takes it from little brother, you cannot walk up to that and then say, give that back to your brother. What you can do is walk up and say, hey, that was pretty rotten the way you pulled that out of their hands. I want you to think about this. The next time that you want something from her, if you yank it away from her like that, what's she going to say to you next time? And the answer is probably going to be, she's going to tell me no. So encouraging kids to be thoughtful and kind and to share is valuable. But if you force your kid to share anything, it is not sharing. Let's do that one more time. If you have to force your kid to do anything that is sharing, it is not sharing. So when kids come out, you have to fundamentally give them that right to control their property however they want. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't use that as an opportunity to influence them and to teach them this idea, this wonderful concept of voluntary sharing. There's very few things that feel better than whenever we give of ourselves from a situation that was not expected to. And I mean really not expected to. I mean that giving where nobody expected you to give, but even if you hadn't have, nobody would have cared, right? That giving completely voluntarily is such a wonderful thing. So kids need to learn this. And guys, it's not popular. It is not a popular concept in modern parenting today. Property rights are tantamount, because when people do not have those very specific boundaries that occur within the understanding of property rights, you get stuff like this. You get people that, given just the right opportunity, with just the right emotional component, they are willing to sacrifice what they say is a moral solely for the purpose of fill in the blank, getting what they want, whatever. It is imperative that we teach our kids good understanding of property rights by, first off, respecting theirs. Number two is going to be a little harder to discuss, because I'm going to have to convince you guys that I'm not some kind of peace and love hippie type here. But number two is it is imperative. Listen to me. It is imperative that we teach our kids the fundamental concept that life is valuable. For those of you guys who keep up with The Walking Dead, there was a beautiful scene from one of the, it may have been the season finale that we just had, but there was the issue where that one gentleman and Daryl were trapped inside the car after they'd been kind of tricked into this trap, this zombie trap, and they were getting ready to barge out and try to fight their way out of this place because they knew they were done for. And all of a sudden, this guy came up to the car and he destroys him. And it's Duncan or whatever his name is, the gentleman who Rick kind of, works with at the start, who's kind of disillusioned after his wife dies and eventually his son dies. But they finally get to safe and they say, "Why did you come help us?" And he makes the most beautiful statement. He said, "Because, Daryl, all life is precious." Now, I know that sounds a little doofy, and some of you guys out there are like, "All right, wooden spoon, gag me with it now, please." And I get that. But this concept is imperative. It's tantamount. It is so flipping important that our kids understand that life is valuable. Now, am I going down the crunchy granola, you know, wear my Birkenstocks and let my hair grow out and dreadlock it and all this other crap? I'm not going that place with it. Don't get me wrong, guys. If you like that kind of thing, if you're a hippie-loving, dreadstock-wearing, Birkenstock person, that's fine. We may meet a lot of those characteristics. My wife loves her Birkenstocks. However, we're not going down this approach that there's not a time for violence. We are big time shooters. We believe in self defense. We believe in home defense. I have lots of firearms, from AR-15s to specifically made self defense shotguns, a myriad of things that we use. And I have every intention that if anybody ever sets foot inside my house and tries to aggress against the safety of me, my wife, or my children, I will use that in whatever way to stop that threat. Whatever I've got to do to stop a bad guy from hurting me, to remove a threat from hurting us, I will do that, and I have no problems with that moralistically or practically. I have no problems with that. Guys, I'm not some super uber doopy, you know, crunchy granola, and all I'm going to do is you know, eat veggies for the rest of my life. There's no hating on vegans or vegetarians here. I have done both, and both times I felt better than I've ever felt in my life, so I want y'all to be very clear on that. But I'm not one of those guys, like, I don't believe in killing of animals, and I'm a hunter. I'm a deer hunter of a long time. I probably would have been a bird hunter if I didn't suck so bad at bird hunting. I am just not one of those. I had better luck just, you know, throwing rocks at birds than I do trying to use a shotgun. But I'm not one of those guys that believe that. I do, however, believe that life is valuable. Life is valuable. And even people that are being douche canoe turds, that are doing things that they shouldn't be, that are absolutely moralistically wrong, doesn't mean their life stops being valuable. And a lot of what happens in situations like these is that you get two sides of an argument, two sides of an issue, and people begin to draw lines in the sand against each other. Well, one of the things that they have to do to prove themselves, to make themselves feel okay, is they have to dehumanize that person. And you see, we all come with the basic inherent ability to look at another human being and say, you're a person to me. You're a person, your feelings, your thoughts, everything is just as important as me. But when we draw these lines and we move on each side of it and we start taking these teams, we have to start doing something in our minds as we think about those people on the other side of this invisible line. We have to start dehumanizing them, because if we don't dehumanize them, we can't sit in our illogic or justification for what we're doing. Cops can't sit there and brutalize innocent people if we don't see them as less than human. Rioters can't throw rocks and break bones on people that have taken oaths to protect us if we don't see them as less than human. You see, we have to dehumanize people to be able to justify the dumb, hurtful, mean, objectifying crap that we do to people. And most of this stems from our lack of ability to understand that one concept. Everybody has value. Why do they have value? They have value because they're alive. They have value because they are life, because they have the potential to do great and wonderful things, whether it's solve complex math and quantum theory or raise beautiful, wonderful children that are well-adjusted, that are going to go into this world and contribute to society. Everybody comes within themselves the potential to do wonderful things. And it is incumbent upon us as fellow human beings to help people realize that. Am I saying that if somebody aggresses against you, that you can't stop them? That is not what I'm saying. If somebody aggresses against you in any way and they threaten your life, liberty, or your property, I believe that you are fully justified, outside of just a legal precedence, on a moralistic standpoint, you are justified in using whatever means necessary to stop a threat from removing those three things from you. Why? Because those three things are inherent. They are not granted. They are not given. They come. Basis of life. You see, that's what we're talking about today, is that life is valuable. People matter. Even people that are being jerks. Even the cop who's being a horrible cop and being dirty and rotten as can be in his position of leadership. Even the kid who has multiple possessions of drugs, which is this Freddy guy, looks like he had a rap sheet that was pretty long. But even if he's got a long rap sheet of possessions of marijuana and burglary, he's still a human being. I'm not saying that if Freddie comes into your house and tries to rape your wife or steal your stuff, that you don't try to stop him. I'm not saying that if somebody came in and didn't, you know, and tried to steal your things, that you don't stop him. It's not my point here. My point in this is that life is valuable. 15 broken boned cops, their lives matter. They're important. They're valuable. This Freddy guy, he matters. He's valuable because he was life. I don't know what happened. I have a hard time believing that something rough didn't go down, but I can't tell you that he didn't resist arrest and it led to his death. I can't tell you that these cops aren't douches and didn't do something horrible to him and beat him senseless when he didn't need to be. I don't know the answer to this stuff. What I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter. Life is valuable, and we have to be able to look past the crap in people and see the value that they have, the potential that they have to do great things. That doesn't mean that you don't try to stop them if they do things that violate life, liberty, or property. Yes, yes, you do. Even if they're valuable. When you encroach upon those things, you don't screw with it. So we need to value people, and we need to see people as valuable. How do you do that? The first thing that I recommend that you do is you treat your kids that way. It's a lot harder than it sounds, but we have to start treating our kids like they matter. We have to start treating their feelings like they matter. We have to start treating their desires like they matter. Today, I came home, and my daughter Anna was sitting on her PC that she purchased, and she was playing Minecraft, and I came up to tease her, and I came and I turned her computer monitor off. Well, she's very new to computers, to PCs. She's been used to things like, you know, iPads and stuff like that. And I took off running, and I mean, she was pissed. She was angry with me, and she was coming after me with tears in her eyes. She was so frustrated. And the first thing that I wanted to do was, little girl, you better wrap this crap up, right? That's what I wanted to do. That's what started to come out of my mouth, but I saw those were tears. And my little daughter, my 8-year-old, almost 9-year-old daughter, Anna, just doesn't cry like that. And finally, I stopped myself, and I said, what's wrong, baby? And she goes, you totally lost everything that I had been working for. And I came over there and I flicked the screen back on and I said, baby, I would never turn that off and make you lose stuff. I said, look, when you shut off the screen, that's all that shuts off. The computer keeps running. And she calmed down and she was fine. But in that moment, my natural reaction to make her not matter because I was frustrated with how she was being kind of aggressive towards me, I almost lost sight of the fact that she matters too. Her feelings matter too. And I almost missed the fact that she thought that I just destroyed everything she'd been working on for about an hour. We have to start teaching our kids that they matter by showing them that they matter. That their feelings, even if they're illogically based, they still matter. They're still humans. The things that they want are still just as important as what I want, even if they can't have them. We have to value life by showing them that they are valuable. I think we also do this by valuing life. It's real easy for us to see crap like this happening in Baltimore. Guys, it frustrates me. It absolutely frustrates me when I see people breaking out windows and looting convenience stores when most of these people didn't do anything to them. We've got to watch our language. It's like, well, if I was there, I'd pop a gat in them. They came through my door, I'd blow them away, right? That may be the truth. But listen to me. It should be hard to end the life of anything. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Guys, I want to go back to the fact that I'm a deer hunter. I love to hunt deer. We love deer jerky. We love backstrap steaks. We love the whole experience. But that doesn't mean that I can ever or should ever let myself get to a point to where shooting deer is easy or pleasurable. Personally, I think it should be hard every time. You are ending something's life. And if we're talking about that with a little deer, should we not be that way more with humans? You know, it's interesting how desensitized we've come when it comes to humans, and that, you know, we watch, you know, things like, you know, a movie about Bosnia, and we're like, oh, that's kind of sad. But then we watch Old Yeller and a dog dies, and we're just like, oh my God, I'm going to die in depression. This is like post-movie depression. But you know, it's so interesting how we've become so desensitized to the loss of life in humans. And I think we need to regender that. Again, this is not saying that we don't take steps to protect ourselves. You will never hear me argue for that. But what I am saying is we've got to get to a point to where people matter again. Because as long as they don't, we're going to see stuff like this. I mean, we can sit there and say all we want about Baltimore. But I mean, it was interesting to see all the riots that have occurred in America. I was reading through them. And it's amazing how many of them came because of ball games. Like basketball games or, you know, baseball games that were won or lost. I mean, I was genuinely amazed at that. So that's number two. We have to start revaluing life again and teaching our kids to do the same. The next thing that we have to do is we have to teach our kids emotional regulation. What does that mean? That basically just means that you can control your gosh dang emotions. I see so much of this crap that comes out of angry, upset, violent people that have no idea how to deal with their emotions. And you get them mixed up in a group of people, you start to develop what's called emotional contagion. It's a phenomenon that you see a lot whenever you get mass amount of people together that are very emotional about a certain topic. And you'll begin to see those emotions spread amongst the people and really influence overall. Some of you guys may be familiar with like what's called the camp experience. And this is whenever you see your kids go off to camp and they have these amazing, wonderful emotional experiences, and it kind of seems like it spreads across, you know, these groups of people. Sometimes we refer to that in more mass scales as the mob mentality. There's a lot of truth to that, and there's a lot of documentation behind how people that will walk into situations that are not fired up, all of a sudden this mob mentality sweeps across them and they get caught up with it, and they really don't even understand why, what they're arguing for. So anyway, it absolutely occurs, and it's a fantastically fascinating thing in and of itself that happens. And so when kids get caught up in these kinds of things, it's very difficult for them to, you know, to control what goes on with them. So it's very important to teach kids emotional intelligence, that ability to handle your emotions effectively. This one's a little more broad. You guys can see we have other shows that are out there on emotional intelligence and things like that. You guys can go look up. But how do we do that? Fundamentally, we have to start getting better at our own emotions. We have to start working on our own explosions, our own implosions, our own passive aggressiveness. And we just have to deal. We got to handle our emotions well. Whenever we're upset and frustrated, we have to go talk to people about it. When you're upset with your wife, you got to go visit with them. When you're upset with your kids for what they did, you got to go talk to them. Again, referencing back, treating them respectfully without making them feel like they're idiots for what they did. That goes back to that respecting humans because they're life thing. But we have to be good with our emotions. We have to understand what emotions we're feeling and what they're connected to in terms of the physiological reactions that we have with them. And then we have to be able to express those to them. And when we have these kids that can't control these is where you start to see a lot of this happen. And you've got kids that are angry that have no idea how to express anger, no idea how to express hurt or pain or any of that other kind of uncomfortable stuff, and it builds up until one day they get this opportunity to riot, and it makes it a heck of a lot easier. All right, our next one is actually going to take a little bit of might sound like a conspiratorial approach to all of this, but the Baltimore riots really teach us, in my personal opinion, and so did Ferguson, teach us to take a look at both sides of this objectively. Now, when I mean objectively, here's what I don't mean. I don't mean mainstream media. If you aren't aware, the mainstream media is a gigantic load of bullcrap. There is very little of it that is accurately represented. I won't go into the details as to why I think that is, but regardless, the media is not an accurate place for information. One of the things that I've found, the media portrays the rioting and the police coming back and getting aggressive with them, and then the rioters breaking into stuff, and then the police shooting tear gas, and it goes back and forth and back and forth, and there's a component that's easy to miss, and that's these pictures that there is a group of black men and women standing in a line in between the police and the rioters protecting the rioters. And there, that, I mean, that's not making mainstream media. You see one instance where there is some obvious tension that is growing between this police force and these folks in this riot, and this one gentleman steps up and just says, "Guys, don't," talking to the crowd, the rioters, says, "Don't give them a reason. Don't give them a reason to hurt you. See, this is not going to turn out well." And I mean, he is just, he's got his back to the cops, and he's just protecting the cops and protecting the people. I mean, it was a bold move that was so brave that, that it absolutely had my attention, and it's so wonderful. You see another one where these looters were about to go into this store, and this man driving by sees it about to happen, stops, gets out, and runs off the folks that are trying to loot the store. I mean, why are we not seeing this? Why are these things being ignored? Why are we focusing so much on these two sides fighting instead of these people that are in the middle saying, "No, this is not what we want. We are from Baltimore, and we do not want this." Why are we not seeing that? And here's another valuable lesson to this. I think it's important to teach our kids to not look where the jingly keys are. If you're wondering what I mean when I say jingly keys, we're talking about redirection in kids. If you have little kids that keep wanting to get into something, like maybe a cell phone that you've got sitting on your lap or something like that, and you don't want them to get it, you present them with something that is a good alternative for them to look at. And typically, you want it to be something that really catches their attention, like, you know, shiny, bright, jingly keys, and letting your kids play with your keys. I'm not advocating that you go do that with your keys. Maybe your keys are nasty. I'm saying the idea of misdirection is jingly keys. And we have to teach our kids that more often than not, in my personal opinion, the media is jingly key syndrome. I mean, they want you looking, and yet it's probably the worst place to look because they want to paint a very specific picture that attaches to your emotions in the media instead of looking for facts and what's really going on. So I think it's very valuable to teach our kids to look at things objectively and to look at the other side of it. Do I think it's very likely that there was some police brutality in all of this? I think it's very likely. I don't know. I don't operate in definitives, but I think it's very likely. Do I think that it is very likely that there are some horrible people that have done some wrong things to innocent cops? Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. So we don't want to remain ignorant to those things. And so it's valuable for us to look at both sides and assess for ourselves based off of fact, not the conjecture of somebody else. Well, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping it up here. There's several of them that came to my mind, but I don't want to overload this. This is a lot of information to sift through, but we want to produce in our kids responsible law. I don't want to say law-abiding. I'm very careful to say that because I don't want to come off saying, "Oh, I'm obedient," but serving the law that says that we shall not aggress against anyone else's or encroach against anyone else's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that property right that we talk about. We want to teach that to our kids, and we have to be proactive in these situations to produce kids that want to do those things. So, if nothing else, hope you guys have a great day and a great week. We'll see you all on Wednesday.